You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn and Tom Morley are with you on this edition, looking ahead to Sunday's racing and a decent Sunday in store as well. Market Racing, Ripon and Stratford flying the flag domestically, with racing over the Irish Sea at Limerick and a good card at Nace as well to look forward to. If you want to hear the full Nace preview, Andy Holding will be previewing that in the morning, on Sunday morning. We're going to focus on two of the Nace races on this podcast, as well as a race at Ripon and a race at Market Race, and we'll get to those shortly. But first, Mr. Morley, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I'll put your mic up, that might help.
Good afternoon,
there
then.
There we go, much better.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm very well.
Good.
Yes.
A double stint for you, you were in the...
Well, sort of almost a treble stint, because I had in play radio the day before.
That's true.
The day before as well.
Look at this.
Yeah.
Across all platforms, Tom Morley. You're on in play then on... What day is it? Saturday? So Thursday night?
Yeah, Thursday night, yes.
For the darts. And then...
Then the darts and the Division 2 playoffs.
Yes. And then Friday...
Friday here.
Racing radio. And Saturday, racing radio as well. So
yeah. Sunday.
Busy time
bed.
Of things. Yes. And who can blame you? And of course, watching the fantastic action at Nace. In fact, you don't have to watch it. You can listen to William Hill Racing Radio. There you go. Lovely. Keep up the corporate theme, Tom. We've had some fantastic racing, haven't we, this week from York and from Newbury and Newmarket. We're actually recording this prior to Saturday's racing, so we can't discuss what happened on Saturday. But the week as a whole potentially had the hallmarks of being lessened, if you like, by the ground.
That's
but
the problem.
It hasn't quite been the case as it looked like it could have been on, say, Tuesday.
Yeah, it's been a strange one, because I know when we were here yesterday, Craig was talking about the times not actually suggesting it was that soft there, yet the jockeys were saying it's soft, but perhaps it was just proper soft rather than
sticky,
overwatered, messy, horrible, ruined by Clarks of the Course ground. Thought I'd just get that in.
No,
seeing as Windsor was abandoned on Monday, it's a good week to have a little rant about the fact that these courses are being ruined.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because Craig was on yesterday's podcast, Craig Forsyth, that is, and he basically said the same things, just that speed figure-wise, things were tickety-boo, really.
Yeah. Yet, obviously, there were a lot of non-runners, which... did take it away, and York can be just a strange track anyway, can't it? There are horses that just don't like York very much. So I don't know probably some of the results and some of the races probably will just be strange form when you look back on it and think, well, I wonder what happened there, and it was a combination of those two factors. But on other occasions, I expect there'll be races that will hold out really quite well, and you know, you'll have seen some good horses around and about. And I mean, to be fair, looking at yesterday, which is Friday. Newbury, that was soft. Newmarket was soft, and there were plenty of non-runners there, and some of the results at some of those tracks will probably be equally questionable when the time comes.
Yeah.
We may just have a really wet summer, though, and it might actually all be really good form to
Possibly.
Go forward with.
Yeah, no, that is true. We've got racing to come that we're going to focus on from Nace. The going as we record this at Nace is good to yielding.
Yeah.
At Limerick, it's good. At Stratford, it's soft. Ripon, good to soft in places. And Market Racing, good to soft, good in places. So... thankfully, we've not got any genuinely
soft, heavy
ground.
They haven't quite had it, certainly in Ireland, as much as we have, judging from that. I know maybe some of their ground descriptions are slightly different to ours at times, but no, there's no heavy anywhere.
No, soft at Stratford as things stand, but we'll start by looking at the 240 from Nace on Sunday. It's the Owenstown Stud Stakes, a listed contest over 7 furlongs. Good race as well coming up here. Whitecliffs of Dover will be the market leader, you would imagine.
Yeah.
Brings by far the strongest form to the table, the highest rated of these by some £11 to Marshall Jennings, who is next in. And the horse is receiving £8 from Marshall Jennings. So there's not a lot not to like about White Cliffs of Dover. That said, do you want to be taking such a short price?
Well, this is the thing, isn't it?
Likely short price.
Yes, likely short price. Yeah. It's got to be a short price. I mean, it's the obvious first place to go. As you say, it's rated 114. It gets weight from, I think it's six of the others. And it is the obvious one to beat. Comes here having won the free handicap at Newmarket. In a first-time tongue tie that day, which is retained here. Gone up, in theory, £6 from that. Obviously, that's less relevant here weight-wise because we're obviously in a listed race. We are on a listed race, aren't we?
Yes.
I'm checking. Yes, it's the group race is the other one we're doing. And he probably did benefit from the way that race at Newmarket was run. I mean, he made all, set the tempo, upped it when he fancied. But we talked a bit about this on the radio yesterday. Horses, it's not the horse's fault, or for that matter, the jockeys on those horses' fault, if they are slightly flattered or if they have controlled the race. It's just how it happens. Yeah. You know, it might just as likely to happen again at some point. The bottom line is he did it readily. However, he would have liked the quick ground, and indeed after the race Kevin Buckley said as such afterwards that he relished that fast ground. Now, we've talked about the ground here. It isn't bottomless or anything, but it is softer.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure what the weather forecast in the intervening hours is going to do, but it's certainly going to have more given it at Nace. But he's miles clear on the ratings. And it's probably not going to be sufficiently unpleasant, certainly at the present, to slow him down. He's the likeliest winner. But as he takes so much out of the market, it probably does pay to look for an each-way alternative if we can.
Okay. It's also interesting to note that Aidan O'Brien doesn't actually have the strongest record in the race. He won it in 2013. That's the only one in recent times that he has won. That was with Reply.
Yeah.
But in recent years, Tested for Dermot Weld was the winner in 2014. 2015, Heaven's Guest for Richard Fahey and James Doyle won. And it was a number last year for the Halford team. And that was a three-year-old, so White Cliffs of Dover fans at least can take some solace from that, perhaps.
Yeah.
You said, though, we're maybe going to look at elsewhere some each-way value.
Yeah, because, I mean, bottom line is White Cliffs of Dover is the likeliest winner and very probably will win. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we might be able to see if we can get a horse into the placings instead. That may well be as profitable as backing that to win.
Okay.
I mean, Radio Silence is actually joint second best in at the weights because it's getting £11 from six of them.
Mm.
Got the blinkers on for the first time, handles a variety of distances and grounds. But I just can't help but feel the mark's still a bit artificially high from when it came to second to Churchill last year. So I'm not over-enamoured, to be fair, with that horse.
Mm-hmm.
I think Marshall Jennings has the official rating that's second highest in the race, but he's not actually second best in.
Yes.
Because of the weights. He tends to run over further on the whole. Now, if there was some more rain, he does love some cut.
Ran an absolute I think I napped it last time out, actually, a massive price. Yeah, 16 to 1 second it was. Ran an absolute belt last time out. And it's one of those horses that can be relied on to run pretty much the same race every single time. And as you said, does enjoy a bit of cut in the ground.
Yeah, so if it did, for whatever reason, get softer or is a bit softer than they say it is, you know, that cracking second to Rose de Pierre in a Lister contest last time, he's going to be staying on well and is sure to give the running. But the one I'm actually going to pick each way is the bottom one, Dramfad Bay, who gets all the weight allowances, being a filly as well.
Yeah.
Has encountered all ground, won her maiden hit on similar ground to this, has had two runs back this year, eighth on a pipe opener for the season at Leopardstown in a Group 3. And to be fair, the likes of Rihanna, Rhododendron, well, you'd expect them to be in front.
Mm.
So that was a good run. Then here last time, cracking second to Dr. Jeff, just giving way in the end. You know, I think that's pretty decent form this year, to be honest. Getting the weight allowances, and I'd be tempted by her each way.
Okay. Another one then, potentially, for Jessica Harrington.
Yeah.
In that contest. So, well, I say another one. A record in the past fortnight is actually not startling, but
it is in everyone's head.
I was going to say, I think we'll still forgive her because of the rest of the 2017 that she's had so far. The 4:15 from Nate is the next race that we're going to focus on. This is a Group 3 contest, the Lacken Stakes, over 6 furlongs. And it marks the seasonal reappearance of Caravaggio for Aidan O'Brien and Ryan Moore. Comes here with, well, an unbeaten record, a rating of 116, and was an absolute joy to watch last year. Are we going to see the same horse this time around?
That's really what it all revolves around, isn't it? I mean, the whole race revolves around Caravaggio. I mean, he carried all before him last season. The win at Royal Ascot being the obvious highlight. Interestingly, the closest a horse got to him was actually on his debut at Dundalk. Lundy was only beaten by 1 3/4 lengths. Lundy was a lot further behind him at Royal Ascot, I hasten to add. Ground should be fine as one on similar at the Curragh. Holes in him, not very many.
It's quite hard to... I mean, even when you've got a horse that's unbeaten, sometimes you can go, yeah, but... With this one, it's kind of... Been there, done that, got the t-shirt. Yeah. Provided the horse is fit and has trained on,
that is the only.
There really isn't anything not to like.
No, that is probably the only potential chink you can try and cling to. Is season ended in August last year? It's a long time off till now. Mm. Has he trained on? That's about as much of, you know. That's the only hope you've got, if really. Otherwise, he should just win.
Again, though, at a very, very short price, as he's likely to be, we do have the each-way angle in this contest.
Exactly. So let's look at the alternatives, see if we can get one of them in the money. Hard to see things like Mr. Scarlet, Tinder, Virtudes being good enough on what they've shown so far.
Although Mr. Scarlet does have ability, definitely, but granted, not probably at this level.
Yeah. I think Mr. Trader, been off for a long time since flopping at Royal Ascot. See, there's a few of these that just haven't run since Royal Ascot, which is,
yeah,
for whatever reason. And I'm not sure first-time tongue tie will have enough magical powers necessarily to help.
So same for Pedestal as well.
I was about to say, Pedestal gets one of those as well. And he was last seen at Royal Ascot. Now, albeit, actually, that ran really well at Royal Ascot because that was third behind Ardad. But long absence to overcome. Psychedelic Funk was third behind Caravaggio at Ascot last year. Now, had a bit of a troublesome return.
That run was too bad to be true on seasonal reappearance, because I was actually in the Racing Radio studio and the horse just did... It wasn't even like, ooh, that's disappointing. It was almost like something has to be wrong there.
Yeah, I know it stumbled in it at the start, but it's still just... It was just hopeless. Mm. And it was favourite that day, so it wasn't like... It was expected. Yeah. They clearly had hopes. Quite hard, therefore, to judge him on that. Of course, we've got the winner and second from that race running here, which is Kukri and Garan. Now, both are lightly raced improvers. Kukri was 8-1 that day. Garan, 33-1. Garan's actually £2 worse off here because it's only getting £3 this time as opposed to £5 before. Now, Jessica Harrington spoke of her shock when Kukri won.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea if I'm pronouncing that horse's name right. I hasten to add, but it's how I'm going to continue. But he did everything really nicely. He was able to lay up, and he picked up very eye-catchingly. And it's hard to see anything other than a pretty promising future for the horse.
Mm.
Probably can go up in trip. But if he can lay up again suitably close, his finishing sort of kick is a potent weapon. Garan, if anything, is more speedy and would probably prefer, if anything, a shorter, you know, drop down a furlong rather than go up a furlong.
Mm.
And I don't really fancy her to reverse placings here over the six. So I'm happy to play Kukri each way, I think, as the most logical one that we've seen is in form this year and has a weapon, at least of a finishing kick.
Certainly looks likely to hit the frame.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, and it will certainly be interesting to see how Caravaggio does fare tomorrow. The 3:40 from Ripon is the next race that we are going to focus on, and we've got a handicap coming up here, and a fiercely competitive one as well. The 10 runners going to post, and by the way, Ripon is the two clear meeting on Sunday here at William Hill. So, a mile and a furlong the trip for this one, and plenty of these come here off the back of wins last time out. The likes of Briardale, a Gurkha friend this season, and Empress Ali returns here off a break, but was a winner when last seen. But plenty of others in this race have got different angles in, if you like, and you could probably make a case for just about anything in this race.
You could. I'm not sure why I picked this race.
Okay.
On reflection, because it is very competitive.
It's very difficult.
And as I was going down, well, that one's got a chance, that one's got a chance, that one's got a chance. Mm. Having said that, bar one thing that concerns me, I think my favourite horse of tomorrow as a selection is running in this race.
Okay.
And that's Weekend Offender.
Okay.
But I am slightly worried because the stable aren't exactly firing in the winners. In fact, they've not had very many winners at all in the last couple of weeks.
Did win this race, by the way, in 2013, Kevin Ryan, with Ardmay, just
if you're interested.
I tell you, Dubai Dynamo has won this race twice.
There we go.
But not running today. So that's a useless stat, courtesy of Alex Stone.
I just really like this horse. Finished last year with a bang, beating Another Touch at York in October. Just looked very progressive last season, generally. And it was encouraging to such just a really promising run at Nottingham on a return. Third behind George Williams. Stayed on well that day after being ring rusty at the start. Probably could he actually should have won. Could easily have won with a better run through. Now, what makes that run even better is the performance of G.K. Chesterton yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, he was second in this in the race I'm talking about at Nottingham. And he sluiced up yesterday and looked like the horse that I remember thinking he could be yeah. when he first appeared into the horse racing world. So I would say that's pretty franked form. Mm. And therefore, this horse was unlucky anyway at Nottingham, and it was its first run of the season and ought to have come on. I really like this horse.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, we obviously there are, as you say, a few that are in decent form. This Briardale, now £6 higher than the win at Newcastle. I think that might be enough to find him out, to be fair. Gurkha Friend is up £4 for a good win here last time. The gelding over the winter may get more improvement out of him, to be honest, compared to last year. Just slightly concerned about that extra furlong, though, for him. Then there's Night Owl, who has been off since October. £5 higher than the last win, which happened to be first time out last season, unfortunately, as my horse came second. and should have really have won, to be fair. But clearly that can go well fresh. And then you've got the top horse, Snow Arno, who's been running over further. So a drop in trip here to a mile one. Shortest trip he's run, I think, for over a year.
Carrying plenty of weight, though.
Yeah. Then that's because he beat Final at Pontefract. Now, Final's a good yardstick and have been, in, well, been very busy and generally in very good form over the last few months. Now, this horse went to Chester last time in a Group 3, Snow Arno. Unsurprisingly, Deauville, amongst others, were a little bit better than him. So he's still £7 higher than when beating Final, but I actually think he can be pretty competitive still in a race like this off that mark, but hopefully not competitive enough to beat Weekend Defender.
Okay, the Ryan horse gets the nod in that Ripon 340. Also interesting to note that four-year-olds have won that race three of the last 4 years. There's only 2 four-year-olds in the lineup. One is Weekend Defender, the other is Rainbow Rebel. The final race that we're going to focus on comes from Market Raisin. It's the 4 o'clock, bit of a change of tack here. Just the 5 runners for this 4 o'clock contest. And once again, you could probably give all of them a bit of a squeak. It's wide open and there's only one horse that comes here off the back of a disappointing run, if you like, and that's Voido, although I'd like the option, you could argue, was pretty disappointing at Warwick. Plenty of these have been in decent nick and in decent nick for a while.
That is the thing. I'm not sure very many of them are that well handicapped. We'll go from just from the top to, well, we'll start with Voido because, as you say, one run twice this calendar year after a break, and to be honest, has come back not in the greatest form. Cheap pieces reached for here, and they're obviously hoping that can perk him up. Yorkist has won 7 from 39 under rules. Latest was just after Christmas when won at Weatherby off 130. Since then, shown really consistent form at a variety of distances. Still above that last winning mark. Just a victim of his own consistency, isn't he? And whilst he's won 7 races, only one in the last 2 seasons. January 2015 was the last time before that December victory. So certainly nothing in hand there. I'd like the option is another who rarely runs a bad race, but last one in October at Ludlow. Since then, second, third, a couple of fourths. There's no respite from the handicapper. Likely to find something too strong most of the time, including potentially in this race. Go one of that. Now, this should have run on Friday evening at Aintree, and I fancied it in that race, and then we got to the race and it hadn't turned up. I don't know if that is a sign that they've picked this race over that, or whether it was a ground thing, or quite what, but sometimes that is something to take note of. Caught on the line last time at Fontwell, which was a great return to the track after unseating at Aintree the time before, but marks again pretty hard work, which is unsurprising, as won 5 on the trot in 2016. Though on the face of it, second to opening batsman, shows good nick. And whether that non-runner thing on Friday night at Aintree is something to take note of, possibly. So the one other horse is quite different, because Baby King's had precisely one go chasing and won. So in this sphere is unexposed for sure. And that was at Wincanton back in February when got better of Astra de la Cour. Robert Walford in mate, who has been second off a £5 higher mark since. You've got it a little bit frank there. Tom George commented after this horse won how well he just finished the race compared to how he had been doing previously in hurdles because of relaxing. And you just think there'd be more to come. and purely through that progressive, if you like, potential, I reckon he may well be able to push past these ones that are fully exposed. Okay. So I'd be going with Baby King.
Baby King then for Tom George, who won the race last year with Sir Valentino as well. So certainly a good omen there. Great stuff, Tom. Thanks very much for your time.
Thank you.
Can you just wrap up your four selections? The two at Nace.
So the two at Nace.
One at Rip and one at Market Raisin, please.
So in the 240, we were going with Drum Fad a Bay each way. And then in the next one, we were going with Kukri each way. I mean, because potentially the favourites do look pretty strong in both of those. Mm-hmm. White Cliffs of Dover and Caravaggio. Then over at Ripon, really keen on Weekend Offender. And finally at Market Raisin, Baby King.
Great stuff. Thanks very much, Tom. And we'll catch up with you soon.
Thank you.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.